is in us. Love will be our home when God dwells with us. Love will be our home when we abide in Christ. Love will be our home. Today I want to begin our week of prayer discourse on the topic, let them make me a sanctuary. Let them make me a sanctuary. Let us pray. Thank you, Sister Stephanie and Jamie, for that special rendition. Love will make us make. Love will be your home, indeed. Love will be your home. Let us pray. Father God, we are here today. We ask in your Father God to put in us the desire for you to abide with us and for us to abide with you. Help us understand your words and the plan of salvation. Speak through me. Help me, Lord, to clear my mind from all distractions so that you can pour in me to pour into your people today. And bless the spoken word as it is become a blessing as they hear the hearing word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let them make me a sanctuary. When we learn of the word sanctuary, when I come up on the word sanctuary, I want to let my hearers have an understanding from a rudimental standpoint. What is a sanctuary? So sanctuary 101 class today, amen? No, you're not with me. Oh, come on now. We are going to sanctuary 101 class today. So take out your notebooks, your phone has a little notepad on it. Get into that software and activate it so you can do your notes. And use your phone not only for calling, but for note-taking as well. So let's go to the beginning. Let's look at what is called a sanctuary. What is the definition of sanctuary? When I search, I go to the Cambridge Dictionary. And it says that add to the list of social studies. It means protection or a safe place for someone or something being chased or hunted. For storm survivors, they look for a sanctuary. When there is a storm disaster, people look for a place of safety. So we could say a sanctuary on a social level is a place of safety. A place of what, church? Safety. A safe place. Back in on the way from Egypt into the Canaan land and settling into Canaan, the Bible says that if any man by accident kill another, he has to find a city of refuge, also called a sanctuary, a city of sanctuary. Today, we have cities that are earmarked by the federal government as a city of sanctuary, or sanctuary cities for refugees. Amen. Somebody said New York. I think Richmond as well. And I know of Worcester also is one of those. Anybody goes to Worcester because of whatever is going on, they are safe. Sanctuary city. I also want to find, what is this sanctuary? I also went to Webster's Dictionary, and Webster's Dictionary puts it this way. The synonymous word for sanctuary is a sacred place. A sacred place, such as one, the ancient Hebrew temple at Jerusalem, or its holy of holiness. That's A. B, the most sacred part of a religious building, such as it is called the sanctuary. The most sacred part. So this is the church building, from over that side of the building to this side of the building. But this part of the building is sacred. Though the whole property is dedicated for the Lord, but here in the sanctuary is sacred. So you don't have laborious and desecrating conversation in the sanctuary. Because it is what? It is sacred. In some churches, you'll see, "Reverend, my sanctuary." So I like to focus on the last meaning of the word sanctuary. Sanctuary is a sacred place, the holy of holies, the most sacred part of a religious building. This is it. So why, and what are the reasons for the sanctuary? These are they. One, it's because sin has separated man from God, God designed a system of atonement, a system of bringing man back to himself. Because sin has separated man from God, God, in his mercy and his grace, want to bring back man to himself, and so he devised or orchestrated and designed a system of atonement to bring man back to himself. The second reason for the sanctuary system is that God wanted to be with man, to demonstrate his grace and his justice. God wants to be with man. So he took the initiative to reach out to us. That is why the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were misbehaving and all kind of misbehaving we were carrying on with, Jesus died for us. He took the initiative. And a third reason for the reasons for the sanctuary is, it is also, it helps us to understand the mediatorial ministry of Jesus as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. So, Jesus Christ is presently on the right hand of his Father in the heavenly sanctuary, interceding on our behalf, so that he can be with us. So as he shed his blood washed away our sins, and Jesus Christ stands in the place for us and take our punishment. And as a result of he taking our punishment, we are saved through Jesus Christ. Are you with me, church? So with that in mind, the sanctuary, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Let them make me. Go on to Exodus 25 and verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The emphasis here is not the making of the sanctuary, but the dwelling of Christ with his people. God wants to be with Brooklawn. Amen, church? I thought you'd be happy about that. God wants to be with every one of us here today who are sitting in those pews. God wants to be with you. But it would appear that the more God comes towards us, the more we run away and do our own thing. God wants to be with us, brethren. God wants to tarry with us. God wants to commune with us. God wants us to be close to him so that we can have a communion with him and we can have the opportunity and the privilege of his grace and his mercy. So God established a system called the sanctuary system. And I'm going to give you a quick overview of what this is all about. So God asks Moses to make a sanctuary, a tent-like of a building, not a hard structure like this church. A tent that is made out of light material that can be transported from one place to the other, because now the children of Israel were moving from place to place, moving towards and towards the Canaan land. And God wanted to be with them. And so God gave a pattern of the original. God gave a pattern of the original sanctuary to Moses. And the original pattern of the sanctuary is in heaven. So right as we speak, there is a sanctuary in heaven. And that is the real thing. And that the pattern of the sanctuary in the wilderness was a replica of that which is in heaven, so you could have an understanding of what takes place in heaven. So Moses went out and he erected the sanctuary, and these are the compartments of the sanctuary, the courtyard, and all that there is in the courtyard. So the courtyard contained a basin, or we call it a laver, of water. And the water represent the water of life. The priest would cleanse himself before he goes into mediating for the people. Then in that courtyard also, we have the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice, the lamb offered for sin, was placed on that sacrifice, that altar, as a burnt offering. And that was where the sacrifice was offered on that altar in the courtyard. So use your imagination. This is the sanctuary. And outside, with a fence around it, bordering the roadway from there to back, is what is called the courtyard. And there's an entrance to the front of the courtyard, and there were sinners and the children of Israel would enter to come into the courtyard to offer their sin offering. When they get into the courtyard and offer their sin offering, they have to lay their hands on that sin offering, slit the neck, the blood is drained out in the water, and it's now taken to the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice has four horns, and the blood would be touched on all those four corners. And that's what took place in the altar out there in the courtyard. They were moving forward into the holy place. The second segment of the sanctuary is called the holy place. The holy place, that's where the blood that was taken is taken to the holy place on a daily basis. Daily sacrifice, the blood were taken there. And so in that holy place, you can find these, use your imagination, the table of showbread. The table of showbread, the showbread represents God's great provider. As God is the great provider. The showbread represents that God is the great provider. He provides our daily bread. It had to be changed every week. The priest also could eat that bread because he served in the sanctuary. Also in that holy place is the lampstand. The lampstand you could find there, it provides light year long in the holy place. And it represents that Jesus is the light of the world. And if you know the menorah, if you see, go around to the Jewish holidays, you see the menorah placed there, and it's Hanukkah, the time of Hanukkah, that represents the lampstand that is found in the holy place. Then you have another inside the holy place, the altar of incense, represent the prayers that go up to God daily, morning and evening. It fills both the holy and the most holy place. So that is placed right at this, the curtain that separates the holy from the most holy place, and that cloud goes up to form what is called a Shekinah glory, representing the presence of God. They remove from the holy place to the most holy place. The most holy place is a place that only the high priest can enter into. And the high priest enters there once a year. And that once a year is called the Day of Atonement. The most holy place, the holiest of holiest, is also called. The most holy place is separated by the veil or a curtain. It is the holiest of holy, and it could be found in the extreme back of the sanctuary. In the most holy place, you have the following. You have the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant, upon the Ark of the Covenant, there is the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is provided with two angels protecting it. And in that mercy seat is said to be God's presence is dwell. So when the Ark of the Covenant is moved from one place to the other, it represents the presence of God. Thus, God said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God dwells between the cherubim. And that is why I always like to hear Brother Woodhouse pray. He starts off by saying, the God who dwells between the cherubim. Recognizing that the presence of God is between the cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant. And on the Ark of the Covenant also is situated the Ten Commandments. And also a plate of manna. And also Aaron's budded rod. Who ministered into the sanctuary system? Who are the people who work in the sanctuary system? So we talk about the priesthood. The priesthood was handed over to Aaron and his sons. They were the ones who designated to minister into the sanctuary and in the sanctuary service. They're the ones who were to touch the Ark of the Covenant. They're the ones who were supposed to do the janitorial work. They're the ones who are supposed to go in and back and forth. The priests also could eat the unleavened bread. They're the ones who supply oil to the lampstand. They're the ones who sustain the sanctuary system. Anybody who decide that they're going to do other than that, they would be struck down, and that happened. The priest ministered daily. The priest ministered daily in the daily services. He administered sin offering for Israel and on a daily basis. Day by day, on a daily basis, he offered sacrifice. That's a priest. He functioned in the courtyard. The priest and the holy place. The priest functioned in the courtyard and in the holy place. Mark you, I said the priest. The daily sacrifice could be seen as turkey doves, goats, etc., and all that there is. I have a little friend here today. So the priest and the sinners would bring in their sacrifice, bring it to the priest, and the priest would administer the forgiveness of sin through that process. The forgiveness of sin through that process. So, when God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. In other words, God has established a system of forgiveness of sin through the sacrificial medium, that they should offer sacrifice for sin. And when they offer their sacrifice for sin, their sins will be forgiven and they'll be drawn closer to God to have a good relationship with him. The Day of Atonement is said to be a special day. It is once a year. Two goats would have been brought on that Day of Atonement. One would represent the Lord's goat that would be killed as a sacrifice. The other would be kept alive, who would be the sin bearer. So you have this live goat. A lot would be cast for the Lord's goat. And the lot, if the lot falls on any of those goats to be the Lord's goat, that goat, its neck would be slit. The blood would be taken into the most holy place where the high priest would administer the forgiveness of sin in the presence of God before the mercy seat. And then symbolically, he would go out, lay his hand on the live goat, and confess all the confessed sins throughout the year on that live goat. And somebody would take that goat away, symbolizing that your sins are taken away and you are now forgiven of your sins and you are becoming at one mint with God. God wants us to be close to him. So What are the spiritual application of the sanctuary? The word sanctuary can be used interchangeably with temple, such as it can be viewed in three concepts. The wilderness sanctuary, God dwelled there in the most holy place, or the Ark of the Covenant, and between the cherubim upon the mercy seat. That's the sanctuary system. Secondly, the body temple. The body temple, did you know, according to the Bible, John chapter 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another church? Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. So, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have the sanctuary system and we have our body temple. And the Lord said he'll give us another comforter that will abide with us. Because the action is, brethren, the important thing is that God wants to be with us. So when Jesus left, he said, I will give you another comforter who will abide with you forever. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not of your own? So your body, the Holy Ghost dwells where? Where the Holy Ghost dwells, brethren? In us. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. Now, the sanctuary system is done away with because Jesus came and fulfilled that. Now we are left with our body temple where the Holy Spirit dwells in. The Holy Spirit is in us to guide us, to teach us, to resurrect us, to intercede on our prayers, and to help us to understand wrong from right. So the third concept of the sanctuary, the temple, is the sanctuary in heaven where God dwells and be with his people. So God says in the final analysis in Revelation chapter 11, and the Lord and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony, or the testament. And there were lightning and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 and 12 says, But Christ being come an high priest of God of good things to come, by a great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So there is a heavenly sanctuary. Heavenly sanctuary. And in the heavenly sanctuary, the operative activity there is also God wants to do what, brethren? God wants to do what, church? God wants to abide with us. God wants to be with us. God wants to dwell with us. God wants to be with us. And he is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and verse 3 says, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be where? With them, and be what? Be their God. God wants to be with us. And that is why he established this sanctuary system in the Old Testament, so that he could be with Israel. He is in us today in our as a spirit in our body, so he can be with us. And he is going to save us into the heavenly sanctuary so he can be with us. Amen. Amen. The earthly sanctuary was made according to the pattern of in heaven. All the services in the earthly was also done in the heavenly sanctuary, and are also done in heaven. All the services that were done in the earthly sanctuary are also done in heaven. If you're talking about a priest, Jesus is our high priest in heaven. Jesus is now in the most holy place in heaven, interceding on our behalf. And John said, and I close. John said, John 15 and verse 4, Abide with me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me. The vine, no more can he, except he abide in me. Brethren, we cannot live a good, successful Christian life if God is not with us. Are you with me, brethren? Yes. We cannot have the hope of eternal life if God is not with us. And that is why he established the sanctuary system so that he can be with his people, show them love, show them mercy, and the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness of sin. And so blood had to be shed. Representing the spilled blood of Jesus Christ, who would have come for the children of Israel. Therefore, they look forward for Jesus. We look behind. Jesus came for us, but Jesus was coming for them. We are now basking in the sunshine of the efficacy of his spilled blood, giving us the assurance that we can be saved. Once we abide with him, and that's what the entire sanctuary service is all about. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them.
Amen.
Do you want to dwell among Christ? Do you want Christ to dwell among you? Today you are here. You're here. Bow your heads with me, everybody. Lord, prepare me. Can you play that song? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Sing the song. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Ready to live sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary,
Lord,
for you.
Bow your heads, everybody, with me. Bow your heads. for your hands. Do you want to be a living sanctuary for the Lord? Somehow you did not know that you can be a living sanctuary for the Lord, in which the Holy Spirit dwells. Today you have heard that. God wants to dwell with you and in you. God wants to save you from sin, from yourselves. As you bow your heads, there's somebody here who have not yet surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. You have not yet given your heart to Jesus. And you're saying, Lord, make me a sanctuary just for you. You have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ. And you're saying, Pastor, please pray for me. Just raise your hand with heads bowed. You have not given your heart to Jesus Christ. But suppose you don't want to raise your hand, but you are down there. You have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ. There are some pastor's helpers card. I'm going to ask, if you're sitting close to somebody, and just show them what it is. The pastor's helpers card. It's a card looking like this in the front of the bench. If you think that you don't want to raise your hand, just take one of those cards. Fill it out. Answer all the questions there according to your needs. As you meet me at the door, you hand that card to me. A card looking like this in front of you, right there in the pews. Just write your names, your address. Very important, your telephone number, because I want to call you up and pray with you. But the others of us who have already surrendered our lives to Christ, and you're saying, I am continually making a commitment to be a sanctuary, a living sanctuary for my Lord, pure and holy, just for you, Lord. Is that your desire, church? That's my desire. If that's your desire, stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful for the fact that you have made provision for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you have desire for you to be close to us. So, Lord, please put in us the desire to be saved in your kingdom. Oh, God, reach down in the recesses of our heart and stir us up so we can be a living sanctuary for you, where you can dwell, a holy place. Words of encouragement, words of peace, words of love, action of unselfishness will be emanated, oh Lord, when you dwell with us. So Lord, save us, protect us, and be with all our visiting friends here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing for the closing exercise.
Our closing hymn is number 334.